Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing number 249, Glorify Thy Name, 249.
Song. I love that song. Singing that song and being here at Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. Welcome everyone to Hillcrest. A few announcements. I forgot to grab my bulletin, but I know we've got the trunk or treat on Saturday. This Saturday starts at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Thank you, sir. And it is out in the parking lot. It will only be outside. If you are willing to sacrifice your trunk for trunk or treat, we need trunks. So please, is there a sign up out in the lobby, I believe, if you would like to donate your trunk. Also, we need candy. There's a place that you can drop candy off as well. Right now we have 12 trunks. We'd like to double, maybe triple that. So if you can bring your car up, we would appreciate it. Other announcements, let's see. I think that's anything going on this month, Claudia? No? Not yet? All right, I think that's all the announcements that I have. It is a five-week month, right? And so we've got Lord's Supper coming up. So be in prayer for that and prepare your heart even now as we talk about it for the Lord's Supper. And we also have a special music night. And so start practicing up, get those vocals all warmed up. Mr. Shane, you're going to be singing, right? Be ready to come up and just praise God on that special music night. But we want to welcome our visitors here today, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to sing, and as we sing, we're going to stand and we're going to wave.
so glad
I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this out. For I'm part of the family, the family.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 4, To God Be the Glory, number 4. Stand as we continue on with O Worship the King, number 16:16.
Tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace. his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. My bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
And you may be seated.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as I tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, welcome back. Hope you had a good vacation. For me, last week we went to a church and we enjoyed it, but it's not like home. The singing was a little bit different. The preaching, the preacher was on vacation of all times, but the man that spoke was a missionary and he did a very good job. But everything was different, and it sure is nice to be home. Be with you guys. Last week, as soon as I walked in the sanctuary, somebody came and greeted us. In the first sentence, she said, "Our preacher's not going to be here." So I started praying, "Lord, let us worship. Doesn't matter who's preaching, let us hear the word of God and worship." And I prayed that over and over and over, not only for that church, but for you guys too. And then we listened to your guys' message after we got home from our church last Sunday, and Samuel did a wonderful job. I hope that you appreciated him. But then I got some messages that said that Samuel had really touched their hearts and their lives, and that's what this thing, this pulpit's all about, is sharing the Word of God. And what a blessing it is to be back at home. So thank you for allowing us to go on vacation, and especially thank you for letting us come back. One thing God did put on my heart while we were gone, when I got back, was we have a lot of people that step up to the plate and take care of church when we leave. It really doesn't, I mean, God's got his order. I know he wants a preacher at every church, but, you know, you guys could carry on without me. We have so many people walking with the Lord, so I want to thank the guys that filled in. And it wasn't just preaching. There was other things that took place that they stepped right up and got done. So God's blessed our church. Whether you know it or not, he's really blessed our church. We're going to start out in prayer. And there are some that are going to have surgeries and tests this week. Some have had surgery last week. And a few are recovering from those surgeries. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father Almighty, what a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being our God, our Savior. You created us, Father, to worship you. So I pray, Lord, that you would draw us to you. Lord, I pray that as we open up the Word of God, that we'd feel the very presence of God here with us. Lord, I ask that you would speak through my mouth, my thoughts, and Lord, that we would hear from God. I pray, Lord, that if there's anything in our hearts that would keep us from worshiping, I pray, God, that we would confess it right now. Just we take a moment, Father, and just ask forgiveness and repent of those sins. And Father, in our heart, I pray that we just want to be with you, thinking about in the garden, the song, In the Garden, what a great song that is, Father, at the end where you're calling us, and that calling is for eternity. I thank you, Lord, for this church and your blessings. I pray, Lord, you have your way with us. Guide us through all that we do. Help us, Father, bring honor and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bobby Cale is preaching at another church this morning, so if you would, be praying for him as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. We're going to talk about contentment today. The title of the message is What Brings You Contentment. So as we read these few verses, I want you to start thinking about, are you contented or not? What brings you contentment? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And the Bible tells us in verse 6, Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So what brings you contentment? I'm going to start out asking two questions. First of all, are you a happy person? Are you a happy person? And would you say that you are content? I see some shaking heads and some not doing anything. Maybe some of you would say something like this, I could be happy or I could be content if. And if you're one of those that need an if to be content, that's why we're going to talk about contentment today. If you need something to make you content, realize this, your contentment is not dependent on outward circumstances. If you need that if, then there may be something lacking. In fact, there is something lacking in your spiritual walk. Your contentment is dependent on your attitude, as well as your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Contentment is something that you choose to have as you walk with the Lord and grow closer to the Lord. I heard Charles Stanley this morning drill this in another message having nothing to do with contentment. But he was talking about scripture, and then he brought up contentment. And he said that contentment is of the Lord, but discontentment is from Satan. So I want you to let that sink in. If you're not contented in life, then rest assured it's Satan causing you to be discontent. He's doing everything he can to cause you discontentment. He's deceiving. You know, we studied a couple weeks ago, he's the great deceiver. He's trying to deceive us to get us away from being content with the Lord. So let's look at contentment today and start out with a story. The Russian author Tolstoy tells a story of a rich man who was never satisfied. He was always wanting more. He heard of a great chance to get more land for 1,000 rubles. He could have all the land he could walk around in a day. But he had to make it back before sundown, before the sun went down. So he got up early and set out and walked on and on, and his greed driving him just a little further as he saw new territory. Finally, he realized that he had to turn back. He had to walk very fast if he was to get back before the sun went down. As the sun got lower in the sky, he quickened his pace, and as the sun neared the horizon, he began to run. Finally, he saw the starting place. His heart was pounding rapidly, and he was gasping for breath, but he gave it everything he had and plunged over the finish line, fell to the ground, and collapsed just seconds before the sun disappeared before the horizon. A stream of blood poured out of his mouth, and he lay dead. His servant took a shovel and dug a grave. He made it just long enough and wide enough to bury the man. The title of Tolstoy's story is How Much Land Does a Man Need? And he concludes by saying 6 feet from his head to his heels was all he needed. When I read that story, I thought, how many of us are greedy? We live for greed. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 9 talks about contentment. This is what Paul is teaching us, to be content in the Lord. God has called His people to be content in Him. I saw a t-shirt that read this: all I want is a little bit more than all I'll ever have. And that's kind of the way we do life. I watch the news, a certain channel, and there's this lady that comes on, and she has this little 2 or 3 minute spiel. It's called Steals and Deals. Have you ever seen that? She gets on there, it's a daily advertising of things that we don't have that we need. And she gets so excited. She got so excited about this little box that you could plug multiple apparatuses in. You can't live without it. You got a million things in your house that needs plugging in, charging. And if you can't plug it in, then you lay it down, it self-charges and this and that. And every single day she tells us what we need and we can't live without. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And as we think about what we're surrounded by the world. And the world is controlled by Satan. And as we get bombarded with those things that we need that we really don't need, and those commercials that we watch over and over and over, sooner or later we take the bait. We buy. Because they'll tell us, 30 minutes, you buy now and we'll send you two. All you have to do is pay the shipping and the handling cost. So we buy into it, and all of a sudden we're having to work two jobs. We're maxing out our credit cards because of the lifestyle we're buying into. And then husband and wife both have to work. And we work, 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 and we never get satisfied as we buy things like that. So let me ask you this. Have you ever bought something that you really couldn't afford? I saw a whole lot of this a minute ago, but I'm not seeing this. But tell the truth. Have you ever bought something you really couldn't afford? Because the preacher's doing this because the preacher's done it. And so I know you guys probably have too. And every time we buy into something that we can't afford, it never brings satisfaction. It never brings contentment. Because as soon as it wears out, we want something else. I made a list, but I'm not going to share it with you because it hurts. But you think on your own how many things we buy because somebody else bought it and we want it. If you're a hunter, if you're a fisherman, I'm going to tell on me. You know, I don't fish. I love to fish, but I don't fish. I've fished twice in 17 years, something like that. But Ron and I go to garage sales and estate sales. And if I see a fishing reel, especially a Mitchell 300, and I can get it at a good price, I buy it. What did I just say? How many times do I go fishing? Dude, doesn't that make sense? How stupid am I? I got a gob of fishing reels and rods. I'm not taking those fishing reels and rods to heaven, I can tell you that right now. I would love to use them, I think. If I do go use them, I don't catch anything, so what's the use? But, and it's stupid that your preacher just buys fishing reels for no reason at all, because they're cheap. Anyways, I know you got stories like that. I hope you do. I hope I'm not the only one in here like that. I hope you don't have those stories. But we're going to talk about contentment. And let me tell you right now, this whole message is wrapped around the Lord Jesus Christ. Our contentment comes through our relationship with Jesus. So let's start out in verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment comes from the priority of godliness, not stuff. Did you hear that? Contentment comes through godliness and not things, not stuff that we buy. You may be a believer, But if you're not content, your Christian walk is lacking. Do you find contentment in your relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus is more than adequate to provide contentment. And it's not a worldly thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a heart thing. It's a desire to walk with the Lord and to suffer with the Lord and do things with the Lord that make no sense. You can be broke down to your last dollar and give somebody in need that dollar, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be content. You'll not lack for anything. God will make sure that you eat. He'll make sure that you have clothes on your back. What do you find contentment in? Again, I want you to think about this. What do you find contentment in? Is it your relationship with the Lord, or is it with things that we buy? So I'm going to ask you three questions that have to do with contentment. First of all, have you discovered that God has already provided all you need for a fulfilled life? That's that relationship I'm talking about. The more we grow closer to the Lord, the more we realize that He has provided everything that we need, absolutely everything that we need. The Lord is giver of all blessings, the blessings of life, that very air that you breathe. You're not going to live without His oxygen. You're not going to live without those things in your lungs that take oxygen and puts it in your blood and keeps you alive. Contentment in the Christian life comes from realizing that God will always supply what you need, the essentials of life. Now, I didn't say He's going to supply those wants. I just got to have another Mitchell 300. Every so often I get one, but I don't very seldom. I just don't see those very often. Second, have you discovered that the meaning and purpose you long for actually comes from the Lord Jesus Christ? It takes a while to get saved. We baptize and we disciple, but it takes a while to realize that the thing that really that we long for, the satisfaction that we long for, actually comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. So have you discovered that whatever you're longing for is really the Lord Jesus Christ? And once we discover that, then our Christian walk kind of goes up like that, up towards the Lord, and we just start walking closer and closer. True contentment comes from knowing that no matter how things appear, God is still in control of all things, including our lives, our health, our needs, our satisfactions. God is in control of every single circumstance on this earth. So the question becomes, do you believe this? So again, think about that. The junk that we've been going through for the last 2 years, the junk that we're fixing to go through in the next year or two to try to get over the last 2 years, and who's to say that this isn't going to be a lifestyle that we're going through now forever? If it's not COVID, it's liable to be something else we have to deal with. And guess who's in control of it all? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The third question, have you discovered that life on earth is not as good as it gets? There's much more waiting for us for eternity in heaven. Again, our walk, our relationship, the closer you get to the Lord, the closer you want to be walking with Him and with Him. This morning, as our deacons, we circle right here and we pray for the worship service, and they pray for me and your needs. Two of them prayed for the second coming and that we'd be expecting and hoping and all that. And one day He's coming back, that's for sure. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the other stuff that we think supplies our contentment doesn't. It's our relationship with the Lord. I've told you several times that I didn't grow up serving God. I had to learn it. I didn't have a daddy that taught me. I didn't have a mother that taught me. Godly men taught me. Guys, we have a responsibility to teach others how to walk with the Lord, how to grow closer to the Lord, how to be content in the Lord. I was reading in chapter 22 of Luke, so if you would, turn back to that. As I prepared this message, God took me all over the Bible about this, but like Luke 22 was one of the verses that he spoke to me about. Luke 22, verses 54 through 62. And this is, everybody knows this. This is when Peter denied Jesus three times. But let me read it to you and think about contentment. Luke 22, verse 54. Having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at Peter and said, "This man was also with Jesus." But Peter denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Three times he denied Jesus before the rooster crowed. And here's the application. Peter had not learned to be content in the Lord. He didn't want to be associated with the Lord. He was scared. And the worst part about it is in verse 62. When he realized that, the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. How often does our discontentment cause us the same reaction? We deny the Lord to get the stuff that we don't really need. We deny the services of the church, the mission opportunities, because we buy something that we think is going to make us happy. And then that rooster crows in the back of our mind. And we weep bitterly because we know we've denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's good news here. The flip side of Peter is he changed. Run over to 1 Peter. And let's look at chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and notice the change in Peter's attitude. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14. It's about suffering. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 14. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached in the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, God is glorified." Do you see the change in Peter? He denied the Lord. His contentment was not in the Lord when he denied Jesus three times. But through his walk with the Lord, he grew closer and closer and more dedicated and committed to God. And now suffering was part of his life, and it brought him joy because the Lord suffered, and surely we can suffer. We don't always associate suffering with contentment, but when you really get down to the brass tacks of it, when we're like Christ, we're going to suffer. We're going to give him our life, and as we do, we're going to be content in the work of the Lord. That's just enough for us to do the work of God. Let's keep going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I always remember Billy Graham. I don't know how many times he preached this, but it seems like every time I hear him preach, he says, you never see anybody hauling a U-Haul to heaven. We had nothing, we'll take nothing with us. I did read this story. Pastor Tim Sizemore wrote it in a devotion based on 1 Timothy 6:7. For we brought nothing into the world, and a certain will carry nothing out. He writes, John D. Rockefeller is known as one of the wealthiest Americans ever to have lived. Someone once said that after he died, his accountant was asked, just how much did John D. leave behind? The accountant's answer was, all of it. We all understand that we can't take material possessions with us when we leave this world. Most of us don't try to load up our graves with things to take to the afterlife like the ancient Egyptians did, but we do often load up our lives as if this is eternity now. We try to find contentment in earthly comforts rather than the will of the Lord. Too many Christians spend the majority of their efforts amassing treasures of this world. My father has been a pastor, he writes, for more than 40 years. When he was asked about retirement, he says, my retirement is out of this world. I like that. It doesn't take a pastor to think like that. It takes a Christian walking with the Lord close. Our eternity is with Jesus. Well, let's read verses 6 and 7 together. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. You cannot take your stuff with you, period. Someone wrote, a lot of people get caught up climbing the ladder of success, and then when they get to the top of it, they realize they put their ladder on the wrong wall. And how often do we do that? We climb the wrong ladder. I've told you several times that when God called me to preach, I didn't even know the books of the Bible. It's real odd that God called me to preach when I'd never preached before. I'd never given my testimony before. I hardly had ever prayed in front of people before. Sometimes I think that God really got the short end of the stick on the deal, but he called me to preach. When I got to seminary to learn how to preach, I had to take preaching lessons, several classes, semesters of how to preach, how to write a sermon. And I'm still learning. You guys know that, but my very first sermon topic assigned, now I didn't get a choice in this, it was assigned to the whole class, was Matthew chapter 6. So if you would, run over to Matthew chapter 6. And it was verses 19 through 21. I barely knew where the book of Matthew was. So I really had to study. This is grace. I got a C- on my first sermon. Should have been an F, Carl. You know about that. But the professor, I don't think he flunked anybody. I had to learn what this was. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. So let's read it together. Do not lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, over time, I've learned what this meant. These few verses is where the shoe leather hits the road, hits the ground when it comes to the importance of contentment in the things of the Lord. You can either lay up your treasures in heaven, or you can accumulate things down here that you can't take to heaven, and they'll rust. Somebody will steal them. You'll lose them. They'll lose their excitement to us. But you can be sure, when we face Jesus face to face, He will know whether we laid up treasures in heaven or not. Did that come out right? All of us are going to look the Lord in the face, face to face. We'll all give an account of our life, whether good or bad, the Bible says. But Jesus is going to know how many treasures we laid up in heaven and where our contentment was. He'll have to ask you this, Matthew 6:33, but first seek the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And He might ask you, what did you seek on earth? Did you seek My kingdom first or Your kingdom, which is the world? As we think about our contentment, are you contented today? The only way you're going to be contented is through the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with Jesus. There will be a cost for contentment. It will be your walk. It'll be your study. It'll be your prayers. It'll be your giving. It'll be your life. We give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ in service, commitment, surrenderedness, our thoughts, our heart, our hands, our feet. We give our life to the Lord and we walk closer and closer and closer to Him. And when you get to a certain age, and that changes with everybody, you realize that the most important thing in your life is to be contented in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the treasures in heaven will cost you. They'll cost you time. They'll cost you an effort. It takes an effort to witness to somebody, to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great treasure up in heaven. But it's also a great treasure in heaven for you to be on your knees praying for that person witnessing to a lost person. That stuff right there belongs to the Lord. There's missionaries that need support. I don't know about you, but I started praying for Lottie Moon already. Some of you don't know what Lottie Moon is, but you'll find out we have a Lottie Moon Christmas offering which supports foreign missionaries. That's laying up a treasure in heaven, and God knows what we do and what we don't do. Heavenly treasures versus earthly treasures, contentment or lack of contentment. But first, seek the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And then the Bible says in 6:33 of Matthew, and all these things will be added to you. All these things are God's blessings, our needs. This afternoon, this morning, when we get home, I got a big pot of beans waiting for me. I guarantee you, the preacher's going to be well satisfied when he gets home. It doesn't take a T-bone steak to satisfy, does it? Actually, it's more than a pot of beans. Black beans with rice and some andouille sausage in it and some seasoning. I'm really going to be satisfied as I go afterwards. Well, I don't. Who said that? Way to go. You just put something in my mind that I have to have now. God supplies our needs if we're content with Him. I kid with you a lot. I probably shouldn't. But a pot of beans, it doesn't take much for God to give us a pound of beans. And if we have a pound of beans, just think of what the way the Lord works. You're not going to die from starvation. Some of us really enjoy beans. But there's other needs that God supplies. A loving home. Waiting. As soon as we get home, we get to fellowship with our kids. If you're fortunate enough to have a spouse, that's because God's in control of all things and He's left two people together and they join and they become one. Our contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship in God. That's our contentment. Thank you, God, for dying on that cross, making a way for us to even have today. 2,000 years ago, you and I would not be meeting like this. God has provided for us, His church. I hope that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, the Bible says it's so easy. You just admit that you need Jesus. You admit that you sin. That you, most of the time when you're lost, you don't even know what sin is. But it's anything that's not right with God. The simple thing of telling a dirty joke is a sin. Arguing with a spouse and not making up with each other, that's a sin. Squandering our money away, that's a sin. Not being content is sinful. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know what sin, I've just mentioned a few. But Jesus died on that cross to take care of all that. So we come to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what that preacher was talking about today, but I think I want to be your child. I want to belong to you. So we say something like this, forgive me for my sinful ways. And the Bible says He'll forgive you and come into your life and make you a new person. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, why don't you, we're going to have an invitation in a second. Why don't you come forward, just step out and say, come on down here. And I'll share with you how to invite the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. But Christians, why don't you ask the Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord, am I contented with you? And let Him speak to your heart. You know, He knows. Why not get it right with Him? Are you contented with the Lord? I hope so. That's why we have an invitation to make sure that we're right with God. So let's stand. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, come on down and we'll pray about it.
Could be dying.
Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
We're going to leave in just a second, but I want to share with you. While I was sitting over there, we were singing the first two songs, and Mike, when you were singing, you thought you were the only one singing up there, but I'm not kidding you. When the choir, when we were singing the first two songs, it sounded like there was a choir of angels back here, and it was about a half a note off. I've never heard that before, and it sure was nice to hear that whole, it must have been you guys singing back there. By the way, you were half a note off if you were, but it sure did sound good. It just sounded like it was reverberating back there. It sounded like the Lord was just singing with us. And then Mike got up there and sang by himself, and I heard the same thing. I think I'm getting Pentecostal. It sure did sound good, though.
So,
yeah, it must have been. Yeah, well, you whispered loud, and you threw your voice way back there, so you did good.
I was whispering off
the key. There you go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, the time of worship, and just the time to be in God's house. What a blessing, Lord, that is. Be with us as we go home. I pray, Father, for a good afternoon. I pray, Father, that if we can, come back tonight at the 6 o'clock hour, and again, we'll experience God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.